Hey everybody, Angie Verbaeten-LaRossi with Avea Financial Planning here. I'm excited to host a group of financial planners from around the country who emphasize college planning in their individual firms. I'm joined today by Amy Irvine, Quinn Arnold, and Alyssa Lum. As families head into summer, we are discussing some tips and strategies families can be thinking about with regard to planning for college. I want to welcome you. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Hello.
So I wanted to get things started off today by talking about 10th graders going into their junior year. And so I have Alyssa Lum to join us. Hi, Alyssa.
Hi, Angie. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone. My name is Alyssa Lum, as she said. I'm a certified financial planner and the founder of Luminate Financial Planning, which is outside of Washington, D.C. I provide comprehensive financial planning, primarily serving families with college-bound kids. And the reason I wanted to talk about rising juniors or 10th graders right now is because my oldest child is a daughter, and she is a 10th grader. And so we've been talking a lot about college planning, and I just wanted to share a few of the ideas that I have that might help other families as well. The first thing is, if you haven't already, it's just so important to start talking with your kids about the financial piece of the college search. Be candid. Now is not the time to hide your savings and what your family has saved for college at this point from your kids. It's kind of too late. I say be open, be honest, show your child what you've saved for college so far and how much realistically there will be by the time that child is ready to start college. You can also talk about how much your family can contribute from cash flow and start to get some ideas of the total amount of money that your family could spend on college. Once you've kind of had, yeah.
Do you think this is a good time to talk to your student about what expectations you might have for them with regard to jobs and earnings that they might apply toward college?
Absolutely. In fact, that was what I was going to talk about next is once you start looking at some colleges and you start looking at the net cost calculator that you're going to find on any college website out there, you're going to get an idea of how your family's savings compares to the price of the colleges that your child is interested in. And if those don't match up, and they often don't, this is a great time to start talking about saving strategies. If your child has their heart set on some more expensive colleges, maybe they talk about getting a part-time job and starting to work over the next couple summers. And honestly, they have, what, 6 summers probably to earn money and then working during the school year as well. If their heart really is set on a school that is out of your family's reach. Now, there, of course, will be financial aid implications if your child makes too much money, which I guess we'll save that for a different conversation. But it's definitely an option. And, you know, it's a great time to start thinking about all of those things.
Great. Okay. Anyone want to chime in on anything else?
Alyssa, I've got a question. It's Quinn.
Sure.
So with your daughter, and I don't know your daughter, but how did you structure that conversation? Did you do it as like a sit down? Did you try to bring it up casually? Give us some tips here. I have 2 little boys, and so we're not dealing with this yet. But
sure.
In terms of dealing with a teenager and this kind of important conversation, what would you suggest?
Sure. Yeah, it's funny you asked that. So I thought I'd been doing it casually over the last year, probably, because I do talk about it, partially because that's what I do as my profession. But when I was talking to my daughter, Molly, just yesterday about this conversation, and I told her that I was going to talk about, you know, rising juniors and what they should be thinking about and talking about money. And she's like, well, we haven't talked about money yet. And to which I was like, what? we've talked about it 20 times, which made me think what I thought of as casual conversation was probably not really landing, I guess. So I said, okay, well, let's talk about it. And so we did then kind of sit down because of that conversation and just talked about the price of colleges, which she didn't fully understand how much colleges cost. She was definitely, when she looked at the 1 year cost of a Virginia State school like UVA, it's $32,000. She was like, so that's all 4 years, right? And I said, no, that's per year. So she was like, oh. So we talked about that. I did sit down literally and show her the 529 savings that we have and the projections that we've got. And I mean, I told her our own family's philosophy, which is, you know, we've saved up enough for her to go to a state school. But if she wants to go to something more expensive than that, then we're going to have to talk about scholarships and, you know, her earning her own money and other options like that.
Nice. Good.
Great. Okay. So we are now looking at 11th graders going into 12th grade. Quinn, what do you have to say about that?
Thanks, Angie. This is Quinn Arnold. Much like Alyssa and actually the rest of the folks on the podcast today, I run my own financial planning firm. I'm a certified financial planner, and I also focus on college-bound families. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that awesome rising senior group. So for this group, as you're going into the senior year, the summer before that is a really critical time to get on campus and check out schools, whether that's just a few colleges that your student is interested in, or like 10. And sometimes that is the number that people are really casting wide nets nowadays. You want to bring a good strategy to the campus visit. And so that starts with preparation, and you would probably expect that from a bunch of planners to talk about how do you prepare for this. But the first thing you want to do is check out their website for the college. And that might seem obvious, but what you're looking at and what we're focused on today is the financial aspect. Check out things like the financial aid office and admissions. We'll have a lot of information about the cost of attendance, as well as their merit aid. So merit aid is a set of scholarships or grants that the college can give out based on academic achievement or some other kind of skill or talent for the student. And start jotting those things down. I like to tell clients that I made a big mistake when I was going into undergrad many, many years ago, that all we had were brochures back then. People didn't have websites for this kind of stuff. And I was not organized. So I lost out on the college I actually did pick, Concordia College in Minnesota, the college I did attend. I totally lost out on their merit aid process because I was not prepared enough and missed the deadlines. And so that's an easy thing to avoid if you, in this summer, as you're thinking about campus visits, start tracking that, keeping track of those. And you do want to track. You don't want to just take the packet from the admissions counselor when you're on campus, jot a few things down, and then put it together with like six other packets. You want a notebook or an Excel spreadsheet or something where you're keeping track of this information. So that's prepping for the campus visit. And then the fun part is actually going on campus and like meeting the really excited college kids that are there to try to sell you on the college. You get to meet professors. There's a lot of other things that you'll look at besides finances when you're talking about the campus visit. You'll want to check out the dorms and everything like that. But for the sake of the conversation today, think through some of those questions that after you've looked at the website that were not answered. And there might be some things like what happens in year two, so I get my financial aid package in year one for the freshman year. Then in year two through four or through five, and that happens a lot, year's five, is the package the same? Do we see changes? What work study jobs are available? Is your net price calculator? So Alyssa mentioned net price calculators. Those are awesome. But is it up to date? Is it accurate, or is it really general and it's it's not going to give your family particular guidance? So be open and upfront with the admissions staff and the financial aid staff if you get a chance to talk with them about some of those things, because they want you to come there. That's their job, and they will try to answer even hard questions that you pose, so don't hold back on that. That's your responsibility on that campus visit, because it's fun to eat in the cafeteria and maybe see a game and other things like that, but save some of those tough financial questions for the staff.
Are colleges having formal visit campus days during the summer, or do they have them mostly in the spring?
They do. It does depend. And I'm in Eastern Iowa. We have a bunch of private liberal arts colleges in the area, and they used to do in the spring a big coordinated visit day across a bunch of different local campuses. I think this particular group has started moving away from that and doing more campus by campus types of special visit days. So there's some of that in the spring. Summers do get a little harder because a lot of the staff and other students are gone. And, you know, it doesn't line up as nicely because there's not as much activity in life on the campus to show people. But that's also when, you know, a lot of families have, you know, if you're going on a trip and you want to, you're going out to visit grandma a couple states away and you want to check out a few colleges there, that's also when families have times in the summer. So so you do have to coordinate that with the school. It may just be a private visit, not one of the specially arranged visit days.
Okay. So I have a junior in my household, and this is Angie for Button LaRosi. And I'm with Avea Financial Planning. I also emphasize college funding planning in my practice here in Southeastern Washington. And so we're living this stuff right now in my house, just like Alyssa. And I wish I had known, you know, even a couple years ago what I know now with my studies over the last year or two in this area. So it's been exciting to learn some of these tips and live and breathe them. And I'm going to start writing about them as well on my website, because I think that my experiences might help other people navigate this stressful time as well. And I don't want it to be stressful. It's a really great opportunity for my son and, you know, for other families and their children as well. So I hope that, you know, just by going through this process, it's a great experience. I wanted to speak today on high school seniors who are graduating right now and going on into college. One of my hopes for students is that just because they got into college, which is an achievement in and of itself, is to set the goal to make it through college and complete it, and especially focusing on that first year. I guess just the statistics say that up to half will actually drop out before obtaining a degree or end up completing their education somewhere else. And those are kind of expensive changes by starting out at a university, you know, transferring, making changes, or flat out dropping out. And college is not easy. The whole environment, you know, you're away from home. You're on your own. You have to be responsible. You have to, you know, pay attention to your studies and study hard and do well in school. So there's a lot of challenges that, you know, these young people are faced with this very first year out of high school. And we, you know, I would caution to think through, you know, by taking out loans or even just the investment. If you're not having to take out loans, that investment in that year to 4 years of college by not finishing can be pretty hard to recoup, you know, especially if you're taking out loans. It's an expensive thing to deal with. So I would hope that families would make it a goal to get through that very first year together, parents supporting their students and students taking charge really of their own experience by building a really strong network of support on campus. And by that, I mean not only their professors and teachers, but their school advisors, the people in their housing where they live, their dorm or whatever housing they're living in, taking part in study groups and homework groups or help centers, and things like clubs, you know, getting involved with things that are going on campus so that you can get to know people, build friendships, and build those strong networks. Because I think that, you know, I think back to my own first year on campus at the University of Washington, and I was only one of three classmates that ended up there, and we never saw each other. We didn't live together, you know. I was really on my own, but I did the orientation, which was during the summer, and I was with a group of maybe six or seven kids, and that very first year, they were my group. They were the people who I connected with, I saw. And I ended up actually sharing a floor with one of the girls. She and I ended up on the same floor in our dorm. We weren't roommates. We ended up being roommates the second year, but not that first year. And so I kind of, just that very first bonding experience through going through the orientation was really critical to my success. I feel like that first year, it took me a good 2 years to build a really deep group of friends. And I had friends from different grade levels. So as we got older, some of them graduated away. But it took me time. It just did. I was just kind of quiet. And, you know, I'm kind of a homebody in some ways. And so it took me a while to build my friendship network. But I encourage people to really be involved and get into those different areas and get to know their professors and advisors to build that support network. Another part of that, I think, is just talking with your parents and making sure that, you know, you're communicating with them, because being away from home, the homesickness part can be something to have to deal with. And for a lot of kids, going away is the first time that they're really away from home for a long amount of time. Now, speaking for myself, I had zero homesickness. I don't know what that was about, but I was so dead set on getting out of my hometown that homesickness was the last thing I had to deal with. But, you know, and then also having the money conversation along with what Alyssa said, it extends to that first year of college. So I think, again, back to my experience, I didn't have a lot of opportunities to spend money. I lived on campus. I ate on campus. My activities were all on campus. I did not have a car. I really didn't go too far. I could have taken the bus and done some things, but there was so much to do and so many people to do things with on campus that my lifestyle was pretty affordable. But I have a sibling who kind of did the opposite. And I know that was a challenge for her, between her and my parents. You know, what was the budget for spending for fun money while she was in college? So that's an important conversation to have. Another thing that kind of came to mind along with that is I understand credit card companies are pretty prevalent on college campuses. And it's really, I think it's easy to get caught up into that that nice offer, whatever that offer is that they're giving you, or the free giveaways to encourage you to sign up for their credit card. And there's nothing wrong with having credit and credit cards, but again, it kind of goes back to what your family has discussed and what your plan is as far as spending and how to utilize that credit card so that it is a benefit to you and not a negative. So those are a couple of things that I would say I was thinking about with regard to that first year of college. There's just so much to consider. I don't even know where to start, but that's where I started. Anything to add? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Angie, I like what you were saying, because we're all financial planners, so we're focusing a little bit more on the financial side of things. But the fit side is as important, if not, you know, possibly more important, because as you said, if the school isn't a good fit, or if your kid ends up transferring or dropping out, whatever it is, that has financial consequences too. So the fit is really important.
It is. And on a lot of different levels, you know, the social fit, the academic fit, the financial fit, there's a lot of looking you need to do and considering. And that's where that college visit ideally can play a role, because I've been to a few of our state universities, either I went there, or I had friends that went there, or there's been events that have been hosted there, and each has just a little bit of a different flavor, and it's going to fit for some kids. It's going to not fit for other kids. So it's really, I think the college visit part is, as you dial down into your list of potential schools to attend, that college visit can be really critical for that fit. Okay. What else? Amy?
Well, good afternoon, if everybody's listening in the afternoon. My name is Amy Irvine. My company's name is Irvine Wealth Planning Strategies, and I'm a CFP. I work in both the Finger Lakes area of New York, as well as the Gulf Coast of Florida in the Parrish area. And, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of people don't think about when they're planning for college is necessarily the return on the investment. And I've never been one to say don't do what you love, but always go into any situation with the facts in front of you. So, for example, if you are destined to do social work, understand that you're not going to be paid a ton of money. And so you really want to plan for coming out of college with a limited amount of debt that you're going to actually have. Or if you love social work, what are your other options? And, you know, there's so many different jobs out there anymore that just taking the opportunity prior to accepting whatever college that you're going to and doing some, perhaps some career coaching or career searching or some informational interviews or, you know, anything that's exploring the return on the investment that you're making when you go off to college. Because I hear so many people, both clients and, you know, parents, and then parents that are still struggling with student loans, that have said one of the things that they wish they had known was what they were going to get paid when they actually got done with college. So doing a little prep work prior to accepting the college that you're accepted in or going to the college that you're accepted in is actually that prep work on what your return on investment is. And we use that language so frequently in our financial planning practices, ROI, return on investment. But I'm not sure that that translates for a lot of people once, you know, once they get outside of the world of financial statements. You know, they don't look at it from a standpoint of, you know, I'm going to college, it's going to cost me $250,000, but I'm going to earn X. Is it a good return on my investment, or should I be considering other alternatives? You know, so I think as parents, we have an opportunity to talk to our kids about that and give them resources that they can go to do some exploration. But as kids, we need to be thinking about some of that stuff. I always joke and say, when I figure out what I'm going to be when I grow up, well, think about an 18-year-old. I mean, you know, they really know what they want to be when they grow up. I've been through four or five career iterations in my tenure of life. So how is it that we expect them to make those big decisions without any kind of understanding of what they might even be good at? So I love to sing, but guess what? I'm never going to make a career in that. Because, you know, if I broke into song right about now, we'd lose every listener that we've had up to this point in time. So I think, you know, reality needs to kick in a little bit on that front as well. And we need to understand what skill sets are really going to be beneficial to us.
Amy, that leads me to ask, I'm kind of familiar with the rule of thumb. Can you speak to, is there some rule of thumb that you can share with listeners to that with regard to their salary that first year out of college and the amount of debt that they might take on?
Yeah, so you never want to have more student loan debt than what you would make in your first year out of college. So for example, if your job is $30,000 a year for your first year out of college, you really don't want to have any more student loan debt than that. And that's really pushing it, in my opinion, because when you think about what that payment equates to, it's basically 1% per month, right? So if you have $30,000 in student loan debt, you're going to be making a loan student loan payment of $300. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're only earning, and I just had this conversation with one of my nephews not that long ago, and I said, if you're earning, in this example, $30,000, you're earning $2,500 a month. How much do you think you actually take home? Like, what do you really think you will bring home of that $2,500 a month? And they looked at me like, well, $2,500. I said, oh yeah, that's right. Wait a minute. There's taxes. There's, you know, and that's the, you know, what about insurance and all of that stuff? So plan on bringing home about $1,700 in that situation. And of that $1,700, $300's got to go to student loans. So now you got to live off from $1,400 a year, a month. That's pretty challenging.
Well, not if they live in your basement though, Amy. Right? That's
okay. I love my nephew dearly.
Oh, do people want to get their kids out of the house? I don't know.
Yep. We intentionally turn the spare bedroom into an office, right?
Yeah. And there are some online salary survey sites. I can't recall exactly the one that I look at occasionally, but in addition to that, recently, because I have a junior who's looking at going into engineering, and the salary survey average income that I was looking at said something around $66,000 a year. So I picked up the phone and I called a contact I have who is an engineer, and he hires engineers. And I asked him, so what are people hiring at first year out of college here in our area? Not as an average, you know, what's happening real life in your firm? And he said it was around 55, you know, maybe 60. And it kind of depended too on the type of engineering that you were being hired for. So that's a full 10 grand less, you know, and that's a big difference.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah. You could also check too, if you're in that point in the search, check with the school and the department that you're child's interested in, because they'll have some of that data too for what their alumni make, and that, because hopefully it's something they can tout, but that could be a more specific or more usable information.
And don't get me wrong, you know, whatever somebody chooses for their passion in life, I think, you know, it's wonderful if people can do what they love every day. My biggest issue with regard to that is so many people just don't even know it going into it. So it's just, it's all about the education process, like educating yourself before you make those decisions so that you can make really good decisions about what schools you go to. Are you going to go to a two-year community school first so that you can keep your costs low and then transfer into a SUNY school so that ultimately you still have the degree that you need to do what you love? You just walked out of it much less in debt. Or, you know, so you can get that return on investment. And if you go in armed with that information, an educated consumer is a wise consumer. And I think sometimes we forget that education is as much of a product as a product on a shelf, right? I think, you know, people think about getting into these great schools, and I think it's wonderful when they do, but they sometimes we don't always need the Jimmy Choo's shoes when we can get something that's equivalently beautiful, right? And that's, I'll often compare that, saying, I know that it's different. I know it's emotionally different. But if you think about it in consumer methods, like we think about TVs and we think about microwaves and all these other consumer products, if we put that hat on and we're truly the best consumer when we're making a decision on education, then, you know, we've done our job, or you've done your job.
Exactly. Excellent. Okay. Are there any other things that you guys think? We didn't speak specifically to ninth grade, going into 10th grade. Is there anything else that you guys might want to add? I have one thing.
Yeah, go ahead, Amy.
You don't. Well, again, it's just going back to in my household, I have two high school students. One is a junior, one is a freshman right now. And I just spoke to a group of juniors on Thursday of last week. And so one of the things that I want to try to get across, and my message to them, is that college is important, and it does matter where you go and how you go through that process and everything. But it's not the only thing that matters. And to me, it's you. You know, the person is the asset that you're building that is to be created and maximized and optimized. And to take this time during the summertime to work on you. And I like to call it actually the brand that is you. Because, you know, as we grow up and go through our adult lives, through our careers, that's really the one thing that carries with you throughout that whole time, is all the experiences, the skills, the knowledge that you learn and experience yourself. That's what you carry through to that job or to your client or to your employer. And by beefing up your own brand throughout the summer, by taking part in classes or activities or jobs, whatever it may be, you know, it's just going to make you a better you. And you're going to find that colleges are going to respond to that. Employers are going to respond to that. And so to keep working on that brand that is you throughout the summer.
Yeah, interesting. I guess I would throw in one thing for parents is start to think of yourself as just the hub for some of this information that, you know, you're going to need to get to know and take advantage of the resources and skills of people who are on the admissions staff and the financial aid office and the counselors at your high school, and not to feel like you have to master everything, but just maybe know who to talk to, and that your child, you know, will become an adult soon. But also as the parent, you will be a little responsible for having to coordinate these things. And because, you know, I think Angie or maybe it was Alyssa mentioned at the beginning, there's just so much coming at you in this process. And for most people, it's either the first time they've ever done this, or you'll have to re-navigate it after doing it after a few years again. Don't feel like you have to be the master or the expert of everything, but do think of yourself as the confluence of a lot of different information and skills that other people can bring to it, including sometimes a financial planner.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. There's a lot of professionals out there who have a lot of experience and expertise in this area, for sure. Good point, Quinn. All right. Well, any other comments? If not, we can wrap up. And I want to thank Amy, Quinn, and Alyssa for joining in with us today, talking about college planning and things to do throughout the summer. We want to thank you for listening to us and joining us today as well. And we also have a Facebook group. It's called Ask the Experts About Paying for College on Facebook. So we hope that you will join our group and tune into the next episode. Thank you for joining us. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Angie.